Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for just being our God. We thank you, Lord God, for this day that you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Use us for your glory and your honor today, Father God. Minister by your spirit as we go forth, Father God, in your word. Speak thus at the Lord the way you want it to be spoken unto your people. Allow me to yield right now to your Holy Spirit. Allow me to yield to you and your anointing. And we forever give your name the glory and the honor. And the people of God say amen and amen. You may be seated in the Lord. You know, it's wild. I got a note to say that Dwight wanted to sing, Dwight Robinson. So I just assumed it was my cousin because I called one Dyke and one Dwight. But it's kind of wild. I was sitting over there this morning. I said, you know, I really wanted to hear my soul is anchored in the Lord. So I didn't really make a mistake. I don't blame you then. Hey. But you know, what I'm beginning to understand is God knows what we need. And I really needed that. I really needed that because I think that should be our testimony. And the one thing is so beautiful about that song, it never says that you won't be moved and shook and rock the boat, then you won't get sick sometime. But when your soul is anchored in the Lord, look at somebody say, I ain't going nowhere. So that's out of the question. We all gonna have our ups and downs. And anybody ever been a boat when it was anchored? That thing's, you know, if a storm rise up, that boat be carrying on, but you're not going anywhere because what are you trusting? The anchor. Amen. And if you're anchored in the Lord, then you trust in the Lord. Amen. That's what I need about right now. Hallelujah. Some trust of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have it, I just want to use one passage of the scripture for my teaching or ministering today. If you turn to 1 John 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. I'm just going to use one passage of scripture. We'll see where God has us to go after that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at somebody and say, it's time to be honest with yourself. You know, I do listen to a lot of tapes, and I have my favorite tapes, and I really been listening, and I'm different than most average. I'm trying to get a lot of people to figure out how to do things. I'll listen to a CD 4 or 5 times because I believe that when we hear the word of God, we hear it the first time one way, we can listen to the same CD, and you'll hear it a second time the next way. I mean, the second time you hear it another way. And I grab so much from people when they preach because I'll listen to them 3, 4, 5 times. I say, oh, I didn't get that the first time. Oh, I didn't get that the second time. Oh, I didn't get that the third time. I got it the fourth time. And I'm beginning to understand that if you really do that, and the first time is a lot of things are confusing to you, confusing to you. When you listen to a CD more than one time, you'll really grasp what the minister or God wants you to obtain. And I said all that because I was listening to Noel, and you heard me reference it early, and he was dealing with demonology, and he was dealing with how, and I love this part of the tape, and he said that we spend so much time giving the devil so much victory and, I mean, so much attention that exactly what he wants. He said that he remembered when he was young and they had the demon man come into the church in his daddy's church. And when the demon man came to church, everybody from all over town came into the church because the demon man is coming. He said, and everybody was slinging oil and dropping Bibles on their head. He said the demon man would get up and preach for about 15, 20 minutes, and then everybody's waiting for him to lay hands. And that'd be about 12 o'clock at night. And so he said he'd come in, he just set up and just for the demon man to fight spirit because that was intriguing and interesting to him. And when the demon man started laying hands, he said everybody came and everybody had a demon. And he said that not everybody got a demon in them. We just got some issues on the inside of us. That's not a demon. And he said, but the devil like it because we show him so much attention. And that's one of the reasons why I've been preaching like I've been preaching over the last two to three. This is the third week we're dealing with. The first one, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Yesterday, last week, I was dealing with unity. Today, I want to deal with being honest with yourself because I'm a firm believer that the problem does not lie with anybody else but what's on the inside of me. Y'all missing that because it's me that's the problem. There's something that's happening on the inside of, hallelujah, me. And I'm the problem. But who's closest to me, who I care for the most, I want to blame it on them. I want to blame it on Mike Jones if I was Sister Jireen because I'm husband to him. And, I mean, he's my husband. I want to blame it on Marguerite if it's me. I want to blame it on whoever closest to me. Families gets the brunt of all the problems that everybody are enduring. And we are the blame for what you're going through. Your attitude with me has nothing really to do with me. Your attitude with me is a result of you having a problem with inside of you. Can I teach like I want to teach today? And the problem is because I'm closest to you and you look foolish fighting yourself, you want to fight me. I just feel like teaching today. I'm going somewhere. I remember a movie called The Fight Club, and the movie was about Brad Pitt and Edward Norton. And Edward Norton would sit there and had this fight club, and throughout the whole movie, he looked like he was fighting. We go to fight, he'll fight Brad Pitt in this movie, and it looked like it was two people fighting. Till at the end, when it was revealed that the fight club, the secret to the fight club, was that you get up there and fight yourself. And Brad Pitt wasn't an outside entity. It was an alter ego that's on the inside of him. Oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere. And so he had it in his mind that he was fighting another individual, but actually he was misconstrued in his mind that he was actually fighting against himself. And I thought the movie was well representing of what we're doing inside church. Your problem is not somebody on the outside of you. Your problem is what's on the inside of you is your alter ego of being yourself. Hallelujah. You really don't have an issue with me. You don't have an issue with your husband. You don't have an issue with your wife. You don't have an issue with your kids. But you take it out on them what you really want to take out on yourself. I feel like preaching this thing up in here today. But the problem is you cannot be honest with yourself. People are trying to tell you you're looking foolish. People are trying to tell you things. And you're mad at them because they are revealing to you what you already know, but you done placed it so far in the backside of your mind that you try to forget about it, but they try to help you, and you trying to say they're hurting you. They really not gossiping about you. They really not talking about you. They just telling the truth about you because you won't reveal what's going on inside of you for yourself. Oh, it's nothing worse than to see a beautiful house on the outside and junky on the inside. There's a lot of folks out here that spend so much time cleaning up their outer appearance, but they don't want to clean up the inside. And I'm messed up with that in my mind because if you don't clean up where you stay at most of the time, why clean up what is on the outside? You don't live on the outside of the house. Why are you mowing the grass on the outside? Pressure washing on the outside, painting on the outside, but you won't even pick up your dirty drawers on the inside.
Don't you understand there's a deeper problem going on and you laying in it every day and you happy in it, but the only thing you are trying to do is give me the impression that everything is okay on the outside, but I've been in your house and I walked in there. I seen the dirt and the filth on the floor. You trying to shut doors and I'm trying to bust them in because I'm trying to reveal to you there's a problem on the inside of you. It's time to be honest with yourself. It's you that wasting away your life. It's you that got serious attitude. It's you. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm just here to reveal that's what's going on in you. And because God is using me to reveal it, you now mad with me. The scripture clearly states to us, if we say, we have no sin. I'm messed up here. Because deceive means we mentally straying away or we mentally wandering in error. We have the wrong opinion about the situation. So it only refers to deceive is a mind thing. Your mind is playing tricks on you. It has you thinking one way, and there's a totally another. It had you thinking people don't care for you, and they really love you beyond measure. It had you thinking that everything you're doing is well, but when it's really wrong. When your mind plays tricks on you, your body can't function. A double-minded man is in all his ways. If your mind got you messed up, you are messed up totally. You can't stand firm because when you go to stand firm on the word, the mind tell you the word is no good. So what are you standing on? The mind games is being played on the inside of you. Has nothing to do with what you see on the outside of you. This word deceive means delusion or be delusional. A belief that is firmly maintained in spite of being contradicted by what is generally accepted as reality. Reality is contradicting what you believe, but you're standing on what you believe over reality that's being presented to you. You up there, sitting there in 85 degrees, remind me of a guy that I seen in D.C. 85 degrees sunny outside. He was delusional. He's walking around with a winter coat on. His mind is telling him that it's wintertime. But everything around him is saying that it's summertime. And he's looking crazy because of what his mind has him believing. Now you want me to walk around with a coat on. And you think I'm crazy because I see reality. And if I'm coming up to you and say, bro, ain't you hot? Your mind is telling you, no. Bro, you okay? I'm fine. My mind is saying I'm fine. But you can see the sweat rolling off of them. You can see the effect of the delusion that they state being that they are in. And they want no help because their mind is fooling them. Somebody say, I'm deceiving myself. Things are not well. It's not okay. It may look good on the outside, but it is dirty on the inside. I'm clean outside, but I'm a mess on the inside. And what I'm tired from is not that I'm tired from cleaning up. I'm tired of masquerading that I'm cleaning up. I'm really not doing any work that's making me tired. My mind is wore out trying to cover up. Let that sit there. Most of us are getting wore down from covering up lies. Do you know it's harder to tell a lie than to tell the truth? But our being naturally want to tell lies. But it's so hard because to tell a lie, you have to remember you told a lie and who you told a lie to. And now what's the next lie? I'm going to tell on that lie. And all you have to do is stop worrying about telling lies to people and tell the truth to yourself. Truth. This word truth said that the truth is not in us means simply this. Loving the truth or speaking the truth. So this word truth, when it said the truth not in us, you don't love truth. Some folks don't want to know the truth. You ever try to tell somebody the truth and they cut you off because they want to believe what they want to believe and they want you to lie and tell them what they want to believe? But you said, do you really want to know the truth? Or do you want to just me to co-sign what you think is the truth? If you love the truth, you want the truth to come out. It'll make a difference how bad it hurts. My man also spoke on a level as he does not like when lies are told to him. And because if he can't trust you, he's got to control you. And being that if he controls you because he don't trust you, then there's a problem in a relationship. People tell lies to folks because they don't believe that they can handle the truth. So it ain't about I love you. I really don't think you can handle what I want to actually say to you. Walk up to somebody and tell them that their breath is stinking. Why don't you tell them that their breath smells like funk? What's the reason? Because if they know the truth, wouldn't they fix the problem? The problem is we know that they can't handle the truth, so we decide to tell a lie to them, but we're not helping them correct the problem. So really, if I don't tell you the truth, I really don't love you. But I know. That's why the decision comes. When I tell you the truth, it's going to offend you, and you're going to take it out on me instead of taking it out on you. And it wasn't me that didn't tell you to brush your teeth. It wasn't me that didn't tell you to go to the dentist. It wasn't me that did that. I'm just here to inform you a problem. It's your job to fix the problem. But you mad with me because I'm telling you what nobody else will tell you because they didn't love you. We can't get unified until we care more about people than whether to hurt their feelings or not. We can't fight against the enemy until we start loving people enough to tell them and them accept it. I can't stand this, that, you know, we got to take it easy on them because they got thin skin. You know how you toughen up a skin? Let them be cut a couple of times. It'll get hard. It'll form calluses over it. So here it is. I brought you to the point that we have a dilemma. I'm trying to tell Lil something because I love her. Hallelujah. And here she is grinning and smiling in your face, and you ain't telling them so you can go back and talk about her. But because I love her so much, I want to let her know what the problem is. But she's mad at me, but she's still hanging with you. This is church, because we feel if somebody ain't on our side boosting up the outer appearance of us and hiding the inward side of us, then they're not our friends. Hallelujah. They know that your house stink on the inside. They like going there so they can talk about you the next day. But you think they're your friend because they haven't said anything to you about their current condition. But they're not your friend. It's family who was speaking before anything. Because family understand that we're going to be family even after I speak it. That's why He puts it underneath the category here as brethren, family. We are the ones who are placing ourselves up for failure because we are not truthful with ourselves. There was a moment in your life where you reached down and smelt yourself. You knew that you stunk. You knew you should have took a bath. You knew you shouldn't have put that Prada, cool water over the funk. You really knew that soon as it got hot outside, funk supersedes sweetness. But you taking a chance because you are lazy and trifling. Now you wants to be all up in my face when I like clean and righteousness. I'm trying to get you to understand. But now I become holier than thou because I took a bath this morning. And I'm supposed to accept you just like you are, but that's not how you are. I'm going to get down your street now. You are. God did not create you to be funky. So don't tell me that I got to accept you like you are when you refuse to clean up your act. You're not a child no more. You know when you wake up in the morning, you got to brush your teeth and wash your goodness and mercy. I should not have to accept your laziness in my life. And when I don't want to be around you because you stink, you're going to talk about me. The problem is not me. You're not being honest with your. And just because I like cleanliness, because cleanliness is next to godliness, and you like funk, don't make me the problem. Wave your own self. Put your nose underneath for goodness. Let mercy sit upon you for a while. And if you can come up and say you smell good, then we don't have a problem. You know what you're doing is wrong. Next thing we want to do, we want to blame it on Satan. We deceive ourselves. It never says that Satan deceives us or deceived us. Yeah, we want to blame Satan that he's deceiving us, but let me explain this to you. It is Satan's job to deceive us. It's his God-ordained job to accuse us. God ordained for him to deceive and accuse you. If God ordained for it to occur, it's going to happen, or the word is no good. So why do we got a problem with somebody that's doing there? Oh, that's his job. I'm never mad at him anymore. Because I realize that's his job. And he gets paid for doing his. I need to do my job. Let me break this down since we stand on the funk umbrella. It's your body job if you sweat, run around, don't take a shower, is to what? Stink. Do anybody ever understand why you stink? Because when you stink, it's your sign to take a, there's a problem going on. There's an issue that's happening here. Anybody ever didn't put deodorant on one morning? And in that afternoon, you, oh, hold up. I rushed out the house and I forgot to put my, how do you know? It was a sign to tell you you forgot to cover up. So every time Satan comes in our lives, he reveals to us what we did not perform. That's his job. So next day I'll remember to. So why am I mad at him for revealing that which I didn't do? If it's a requirement for me to be clean and take a bath, and he revealing to me that I need to take a bath every day, why am I mad at him for showing me the truth? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. There's a problem. He's just showing you the problem that you have on the inside of you. So you can't be mad at me, and you can't be mad at him. You gotta be mad with your. Y'all ready how deep this is? The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, his angel was cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accusers of the brethren is cast down, which accuses them day and night. It's Satan's job to accuse me. So my victory or my defeat is not in whether I'm accused by him of doing something. My victory or my defeat is not predicated whether he deceives me or not. Y'all want to know I know that? Because Satan accused God of lying. He went up to Eve and told Eve that what Adam said, that God said, God never said it. And if you accuse God of lying, if you use God's words to deceive them, what did God do? You trying to tell me he didn't know that what he was doing when he was doing it? Look at somebody say, he ordained for that to occur. He didn't stop heaven, stop earth, and come back and got him corrected right then and there. He never blamed Satan. He went first to the source of the problem. Eve. That's why he called her the weaker vessel. He realized that when he split Adam. Some of y'all catch some of y'all. He realized when he split Adam up, he did not give Adam and Eve the same equalness. He made one of them a little bit weaker than the other. Oh, my gosh. So actually, the deceit showed God that there was a weaker vessel there. He couldn't reveal to mankind that the woman was a weaker vessel until it was revealed to all mankind by she being deceived. So really what he did, he came down and revealed to all of us that a woman needs a covering or a head. God correct the problem off of the issue that came forth from the deceitfulness of Satan. Hallelujah. That's why I didn't really want to say it, but God said, go ahead. We are mad at the wrong people. We shouldn't get upset because we are accused of doing something by someone, because that's their job. They've been ordained by God to perform their service on behalf of Satan. Satan lied on God and accused God of holding back and not telling Adam and Eve the whole truth. If you accuse the one that created me, then he's surely going to lie to me. Look at somebody and tell him, you're not my problem. Point to the devil and tell him, you're not my problem. There's a deeper issue going on inside of me. And that issue is, I'm lying to myself. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm pretty on the outside, but I'm ugly on the inside. I'm blessed on the outside, but I'm a mess on the inside. I look like I got it all together with my praise, but I really don't know how to. You may think the elegant words that I speak make me look like I got a relationship with God, but internally I got a relationship with the devil. What you see is not who I am. I got some stuff going on. And the hold of the stronghold to the stuff that I got going on is that I'm lying to myself. That's my stronghold. It's not something that happened to me in my past. It's not something that you done to me in my present. It's that I'm lying to myself. And if the truth is not in me, God cannot move. Armor of God, central location of where everything is attached to, is called the loins girded with truth. In other words, it's every piece of the armor, of a full armor, is predicated upon the loins girded with truth. They set the shield on the belt. They attached the breastplate to the belt. They attached the lower part of protection to the belt. They put the sword on the belt. So everything in your life as your weapon and protection comes off of truth. So if you don't have truth, you don't have a belt. What would Batman be without his utility belt? Hallelujah. He would not be Batman, because everything he needs was on his utility belt. Look at your neighbor and say, everything you need is on your belt, girded with truth. If you're honest about it, when you need a sword, it's there. When you need faith, it's there. When you need protection, it's there. So all I need is truth. I want to deal with one man, and I'm coming in. Jacob is a man that really defines the ordeal of us inside the kingdom of God with a struggle with internalness and externalness. Jacob, for many years, has been dealing with trying to have status quo, a blessing from eternalness. It was so far and so deep embedded in him, his first move was to grab the foot of the one that was supposed to be firstborn. Because he knew about it before he got into the womb, that the first one that comes out get the natural blessings. How did he know this? He wasn't young enough to develop this mindset in his head. How did he know this? Maybe it was something on the inside of him that knew about the internal structure of order of God that was planted something up inside of him that before he knew about it was developing a move together and pull everybody back to place himself in a position to receive natural blessing. Oh, hallelujah. So here it is. Before I'm born, there's something on it inside of me that's been placed inside of me to pull people down and place myself in a position as the next one in line for the blessing. Let me understand that we naturally have this thing on the inside of us to kill our brother so we can take their place. It's not something that somebody put in you. It's in you before you're born. It's just developed in the womb. My gosh. It's hard to fight against something that's in you before you're born. Here it is. This mess that I have on me was in me before I came around you. It's even with Jacob. At the beginning, when Esau was with him, I always thought Jacob was the righteous one. I always thought Jacob was the chosen one. At the level of, from the beginning, and Esau took his place. Never. It never formed like that. He was known as, that point in time, Jacob, or supplanter, or deceiver, or tricker. Supplant means to take the place of another by scheming. The moment he came out, he was known as a schemer that's going to take a place of individual. He didn't have the ability to scheme, did he? So then let me also understand that the scheme inside of me is not me. But I'm trying to help some of y'all out. I'm trying to show you that the issues on you was never you. It's been placed in you, ordained by God, to deceive you, to show you that you need help. You can't do this way. All his life, he tried to receive natural blessings by scheming his way through it. He tricked everybody to have them feel that he was a man of God. This is the part that confused me. I don't get confused too much in scripture. Why did God allow it to continue on and him to be blessed in his scheming mode? Anybody ever see folks blessed and you know they scheming? he got over on the firstborn, why did God allow him to do that? He got over on daddy, the one that covered him and protected him, went out of order, and God still allowed him to live. Huh. He goes to the uncle house and got over on the uncle with the speckled cows, and God ordained that. Why do God allow us to move and function in natural blessing without spiritual blessingness moving it? Why do he allow the outside individual to prosper and the inside individual to be a mess? What is his full purpose of it? There's a reason why. Look at somebody say, because God wants you to see that you are a mess. And everything that you obtain naturally won't satisfy you. Mm. You think that the natural blessings is the satisfactory of being here. I feel like we just think. You think that if you get a car, you're going to be happy. Mm-hmm. You think if you get this big home, you are blessed. I'ma let you have what you think is your blessing to get you to a place where you have an emptiness on the inside of you and you still don't feel fulfilled. Don't worry about the end. I got you, Jacob. When you get to a place where your mindset is all topsy-turvy and you don't know your way out of this and you realize that the natural blessings can't cause you to be blessed, you're going to seek on me one day. I understand what the wrestle was about. The wrestle was about his mind changing. Oh, Lord, I'm tired of being like I am. I'm tired of being messed up. I'm tired of not having peace. I got everything that a man can hope for. I got two wives, more than enough. I got a bundle of kids, more than enough. I got oxen and lambs, and here I am by myself wrestling with you because I'm not happy. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're not honest, you're not happy. So it's time to be happy and get honest with yourself. They're not my problem. They're not my problem. I sent them along because the problem lies inside of me. Ain't nobody else that I can blame. Only can blame me. I'm not happy with myself. Shake somebody next to you. Say, you're not my problem. I'm my problem. And what's going on in me right now, God is showing me that I'm the problem. I'm not happy with my life right now. I have everything that some people want, but I'm still not happy. I'm still not happy. But if I'm honest with myself and realize that I got junk on the inside of me, then I can move on. We building altars and calling it Bethel. We building altars in the name of the Lord, but God's not in it. It came to the point where it started affecting his whole next generation that he realized that I got to change something here. If I don't correct the problem with me, it's that my kids is going to be affected by it. So he said, oh, Lord, what do I have to do? God said, I need for you to get up out of your pity party. I need for you to shake it up on the inside of you. I need for you to get that depression off of you. I need for you to stop blaming everybody around you. I need for you to rise up and get yourself back on your feet and go back to the place where you first met me and admit that I'm the problem, Lord. If you're not dwelling on the inside of me, I'm not blessed. Look, your neighbor say you gotta be blessed on the inside. You gotta be blessed on the inside. Because if you bless on the inside, the outside is automatically blessed. Outward blessings did not resolve his issue. Persons and things that he naturally dreamed for didn't fix his problem. Even an encounter with God and a name change did not change his name or change who he was. It was when he got up out of his pity party movement, hallelujah, it's when he put away things that wasn't ordained by God. It's when he buried his outward adornments or let the house on the outside look like what the house do on the inside. Hallelujah. It was when God gave him directions to be blessed. Some of us need to come in here just like we feel sometimes. Hair not undone, weave hanging off. Because that's me. I'm tired of faking the outside with no help on the inside. Hallelujah. So it takes me now to do drugs and alcohol, not to cope with you, but to cope with what's going on inside of me. Because the first time he was there, he named the place Bethel, a house of God. When God sent him back, he changed the name to El Bethel. There's something now living on the inside of the house of God. There's a difference than Mike Jones being a man of God than Mike Jones having God in the man of God. They that are led by the Spirit, they are. It's not what you call yourself, it's who you follow. No man or no woman should ever say that he is a Christian or he is a man of God. No man should never have to say that he is a husband or the head of his house. Our job duties should automatically speak it for us. When it's on the inside of you to do that which is right, it spills to the outside of you and flow in a unity like the anointing flowed down Aaron's beard. The last part of my series is you cannot be unified until you be honest with yourself. You can't even fight against the devil unless you're honest with yourself. So today, the altar is open for not you crying for God help me, but for you to say, Lord, I wasn't honest with myself. The people who I actually hate, if I think about it, they was trying to tell me something about me that I did not like. I'm mad with them because they try to help me. I offended them because they loved me, and I was offended by them. But what they actually did was tell me things that can really help me. All stand to your feet.
Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk, continuing to look over and guide us and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.